Welcome to Neurodivergent Relationships with Kathy Marshak, PhD.
I'm Dr. Kathy Marshak. I'm a psychologist and an author, and I specialize in helping my clients who are in complex relationships that don't respond to conventional psychotherapy, such as neurodivergent couples where there's a neurodiverse and a neurotypical partner in a relationship. I've created a unique approach to resolving these complex issues through use of my innovative tools and communication strategies that have helped literally hundreds and hundreds of people. I created this podcast for you to bring my unique approach to these complex relationships to even more people. In this podcast, I'll present topics on how to bridge the chasm between neurotypical and the neurodiverse. Hello. In today's podcast, I'd like to define empathy more so that you really have a grounding for how I use it throughout my podcast, my books, my courses, and so forth. Because I think once you understand it, you actually have a better chance of resolving problems in your neurodivergent relationship. So, empathy is a lot more than words, and that's how I've written an entire book on that subject, recently published, if you want to take a look at it, in which you're going to find the diagrams and the graphics for empathy, the empathy territory, the map of empathy territory, empathy dysfunction, the seven-step interface protocol, all of that. But today it's about the empathy triad. So empathy is a lot more than words, and that's why I discovered that it's actually a three-part process. There's empathy, which is the ability to pick up the cues that are being sent to help you better understand what's going on with the other person. You're picking up both the nonverbal and the verbal cues, tone of voice, facial expressions, gestures, timing, all kinds of nonverbal and subtle cues that are helping you make sense of what's going on with that other person. So it consists of empathy. That's one part of the triad. The second part is looking at the contextual cues that other person is sending you and determining which ones are the significant ones, which ones are telling you about the other person. And then the third part is the concept of conversation. So through conversation, we keep circling back into what is the context, what does that person mean, why did they use that word? But in addition to all three parts, the empathic individual is taking in what's going on with the other person and offering what's going on with him or herself or themselves. So empathy is the ability to speak the language of the other person as you recognize what's going on with them, and they're able to speak your language if it's a two-way street, and it feels wonderful to be in sync. So the empathy triad describes this process where someone who is empathy triad sensitive is in sync with the other person and encourages the other person to be in sync with you. So empathy triad sensitive people are neurotypical, mostly neurotypical. Not all neurotypicals are empathy triad sensitive, however, but they lean in that direction. So the empathy sensitive person is sensitive to the self and to the other person. They're mind sensitive to it. They have strong nonverbal skills, and they keep affirming the other person's reality, that other person is important and I'm listening to you. They're also, in order to have empathy triad sensitivity, the neurotypical has to have context sensitivity. That means that you can read between the lines, that the cognitive messages and the emotional messages are balanced. You can read both, and that you navigate those contextual cues properly. In other words, you know which cues are most important at any one time to pay attention to. And then the empathy triad sensitive individual has conversational sensitivity. So they are interactional in their approach. They're looking for a win-win interaction. they're inductive. The empathy, triad, sensitive person is opening up a conversation. They're not closing it down. They're not looking for answers. They're looking to connect first, and then we can look for some answers. So it's always opening up a conversation. The conversation is reciprocal. They're looking for it to go back and forth, that it's as just as important to the other person as it is to me to connect. They also are small talk sensitive, and I've talked about how chit-chat and small talk is something that's difficult for people on the autism spectrum because they're not paying attention to the subtle meanings, the contextual cues, and so forth that are being sent their way. The empathy triad person, sensitive person, is introspective. They're learning from other people how that other person sees me, feels about me. So that helps the sensitive person, the empathy triad sensitive person, come to know themselves better. They might adjust some of the things they know about themselves as a result of how the other person sees them. And of course, the empathy triad sensitive individual focuses on relationship building, not problem solving, relationship building. So empathy triad sensitivity is something that's characteristic of neurotypicals. It's because that timing works. And it feels as if the other person cares about you because they're in sync with you. So where we come into some trouble with in neurodivergent relationships is that neurodiverse people do not have empathy sensitivity. There is a bit of a misstep, or they're asynchronous with these parts, with the empathy, context, and conversation. It doesn't always work together. They may indeed have some awareness of their feelings. They may be picking up what's going on with you, but it doesn't mean that they necessarily know how to talk about it. It doesn't mean they can tell which of the cues they're noticing, that which of those cues they're supposed to pick up first. So let me give you an example of one of my clients was telling me that he was wanting to prepare a eulogy for a funeral, at a funeral for a friend of his who had recently passed away. He was asked to do one of the eulogies, and he very much wanted to do this because he loved this man dearly and wanted some help. He asked me, how can I do this so that it's meaningful for everybody that's there? And of course, that's a really wonderful question. And I told him, I said, it's important that you just come from your heart. Tell the group, tell the people that are there, tell them the stories that were meaningful to you, that you shared in this with this man. And of course, that's what he did, and it worked beautifully. But what was interesting about this is that he was aware that as an employer, as a manager, he was very good at analyzing people. He could figure out who would make a good employee. And he was trying to figure out what's the difference between that and empathy. And of course, there's a big difference. Being able to analyze the data set that a human being gives you and determining if that's going to fit as an employer in your workplace, that's not the same as affirming the other person, having a conversation where you're each reciprocating the caring comments that are sent to the other person. This person that I was telling you about, he's very aware that he does not always pick up what's going on with his neurotypical wife. His timing is off. He wants her to know that he loves her, but he doesn't often say it in the right contextual way. So remember, context can be everything. It really can mean so much to know when you say something, when you stay quiet, when you slow down, when you ask for somebody to repeat what they just said, even though you heard it. But you know it's important for them to talk about again. So if we look at the other side of the map of empathy territory, and if you've downloaded it, then you can see that. If you haven't, you'll be able to go onto my websites and or in my book and find the other side of it. We've got the empathy triad sensitive person, and on the other side is the empathy triad blind. or the neurodiverse person. So what that means is that the neurodiverse person may love you, they may care, they may be able to figure out that this person has all these qualities that would be terrific in an employee, but maybe they don't know how to have a conversation. So they're empathy blind, meaning that they are not necessarily aware of what's going on in the mind of the other person or even to themselves. They listen to the words the person is speaking. They might look at their resume. They're looking at words, but remember, empathy is more than words. And as a result of looking at words or listening to the words and not hearing that the person is trying to connect, the empathy blind person can be quite self-absorbed. They're aware of what they're feeling and thinking, but not necessarily aware of what you're thinking or feeling, or not able to talk about it. Sometimes they notice things are going on, but they don't know what to say because they're context blind. So they just read the surface structure. There is a cognitive and an emotional imbalance, and they don't know how to prioritize the contextual cues that they're receiving. They just go with the words and what is meaningful to them. So they're often quite surprised when somebody's upset with them for not listening, because they were listening to every word, every single word. But remember, empathy is more than words. And lastly, the empathy triad blind person is conversationally blind. They are transactional, they are deductive. They are looking for an answer. They're listening to your words and they're listening for congruity in your words, not necessarily congruity in your behavior. They tend to be one-sided in that as soon as they've got what you have to say, they stop. They don't realize that maybe you want to keep connecting. They're often confused by small talk, as I explained this in other podcasts. Small talk is a type of behavior that neurotypicals use to start off a conversation, to make a connection, to get things on the rolling. It's not necessarily meaningful in a problem-solving way. It's just emotionally meaningful. And people with empathy triad blindness miss the value of small talk. They, as a result of this empathy triad blindness, people on the spectrum are not very introspective. It takes a lot of work for them to think through and be walked through in therapy, for example, what's going on with them and the changes they need to make. Neurotypicals who are empathy triad sensitive make changes as a result of the joy of interacting with others. And as I said before, the empathy triad blind person is solution focused, not relationship focused. So when you look at what empathy triad sensitivity means, it's quite a sophisticated system of flowing and interacting and stepping back and regrouping and making sure that we're on the same page so that we can move ahead and be there for each other. And when we don't do a very good job of that, we can feel unloved, rejected, even frightened when somebody is not empathic. So that doesn't mean that people on the spectrum cannot be loving or genuine or connect. It's just that they're going to have to slow it way down and keep using something that I call the 7-step interface protocol so that they can remind their neurotypical loved ones that they do care even if they don't get something. But we'll talk more in another podcast about how to communicate across that divide. You've been listening to Neurodivergent Relationships with Kathy Marshak, PhD. Are you in a neurodivergent relationship and have come to realize the communication tools you've used in other relationships don't seem to work with your partner? Or perhaps you've tried everything you can think of, but nothing seems to work. If so, I hope this podcast has given you a few new tools to use to help you move your relationship to a healthier level. I invite you to visit me online at ndrelationshipspodcast.com, where you can learn even more about the tools and resources that I offer.